Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Ruff, silence, quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Yeah.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some and throw it on the wall and see what sticks?
Oh, is that the way it's going to be today? Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a hump day in the doghouse. We got plenty of football in the show for you today. Plus, we got some hoop in there, some NBA, a little bit of country hardball. Of course, the tournament, as of tomorrow, the Sweet 16 gets going again. A lot of focus on the big names that are in Memphis for the South Regional, including UCLA, North Carolina, Butler, and, of course, the Kentucky Wildcats. So we'll get to all of that for you today. Spring ball is underway in Tuscaloosa. Nick Saban used a question from friend of the show, Rainer Saban, yesterday to launch into his first solid rant of the season. I mean, this is the tone setter. This is the one that kind of gets everybody in the mood, gets everybody ready to know that he is in midseason form, even though this is the official kickoff of the 2017 season. Nick Saban was ready to go when Rainer Saban asked him, no relation, when Rainer Saban asked him about becoming maybe a more conservative offense.
Philosophically, we're not, I don't know where you came up with, we're going to go to ball control. That's not what we do.
No.
I mean, New England Patriots threw the ball over 60-some percent of the time, which is more than we threw it. So where does that assumption come from?
I don't know.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Spaghetti.
And the people who scream the loudest, you know, they kind of get the attention, and we pass some rule, right, that everybody has to live with, that or some law.
What?
And the consequences mess up a lot of other things.
Now, where are we going?
Do it
with
all
it?
The time. We're doing it right now.
What?
The NCAA is doing it. We're going to change the way we can have summer camps.
How did we get to the NCAA?
High school coaches working summer camps. I mean, it's the most ridiculous things that I've ever seen. But it is what it is, and whatever they do, they do.
Summer camps.
So we say we don't want third parties dealing with players.
That come from?
So we're not going to let the high school coach bring a guy to camp, but some third-party guy can bring him to camp now.
What?
Makes no sense at all. I mean, but all the people who have common sense, they won't say anything about it. But the people who scream the loudest will get the thing changed, and it'll mess everything up. It's the way it goes. The way it goes in the world, politics, just the way it goes. Same thing with you. We're going to be more conservative now in ball control offense. Where'd that come from? I never said that.
No.
Nobody in this building ever said that. So where'd you come up with that? Just, you know, had a dream about it or what? If we'd have caught some passes in the national championship game, we had guys open, we wouldn't have had to control the ball. We'd have scored more touchdowns.
What was that?
There's no arguments. Those are called ass chewings.
Is that what that was? Is that what Rainer Saban just got? I don't even know how we got from there to over there. I mean, the kid said something about, you know, being more of a run-oriented, control-oriented offense. And then the next thing you know, where
when you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
I don't. How did we get there? How did we get from over here to over the next thing you know, we're talking about summer camps and third parties? I don't even know what he was saying. I don't.
You ask a question every week that I don't know anything about.
The guy was just right in midseason form. I mean, there's no wasting any time there. Boom, right in midseason form. Gotta love that. All right. So we've got that to get to. By the way, Saban also made it clear that there is a quarterback competition this spring, and it's for the backup job, because there's no doubt that Jalen Hurts is the starter, okay? Now, at Auburn, there may be a competition for the starting role, but we do know this. John Franklin III and Tyler Queen are not involved in that thing. Franklin is now a wide receiver. Queen is now an ex-Tiger, as he sought and received his release from the program. So Jared Stidham, the presumptive starter, Sean White, the returning starter, they're there, as well as redshirt freshman Woody Barrett, who many think will someday be the starter, and true freshman Malik Willis, who's just gotten started, are the ones that are in that quarterback room now. Speaking of quarterbacks, by the way, did you see this? E.J. Manuel got $800,000 with no guaranteed money from the Raiders. I think about that. Now, compare Manuel to Mike Glennon. Both came into the NFL in 2013 in the NFL draft. Both started out as rookies, but have been backups the last couple of years. Glennon's numbers are just a little bit better, with a career passing rating of 84.5 in 18 career starts, while Manuel has a career passing rating of 76 in 17 career starts, but can make things happen a little bit more with his legs. Mike Glennon got a 3-year, $45 million contract with $18.5 million fully guaranteed from the Bears. I mean, beauty is certainly in the eye of the beholder. Manuel gets $800,000, none of it guaranteed. Glennon gets $45 million. Wow. Yesterday we talked about a new spring league that will take place at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. Well, more details are now emerging on this. Camp opens up on April 5th with a 6-game schedule. Not a 4-game or 3-game schedule, but a 6-game schedule that will be completed before the NFL draft. The games are going to be played on April 15th, 16th, 22nd, 23rd, 25th, and 26th. Okay, so it's a 6-game schedule, but each team is playing 3 games, maybe? I don't know. Seems like it's a 4-team deal. I don't know. If it's a 4-team deal, each team plays 2 games? 3 games? Maybe. Anyway, and how about this, though? Former NFL players Greg Hardy, Kellen Winslow Jr., and Brandon Browner, and Ben Tate, former Auburn Tiger Ben Tate, have committed to play, according to a press release from the Spring League. By the way, speaking of second chances, here's a doozy. A Brazilian soccer team signed Bruno Fernandes de Souza, simply known as Bruno, in Brazil, to a contract after he was released from jail. Why was he in jail? Well, Bruno, who was a goalie, was convicted in the gruesome slaying of his girlfriend in 2010. He was convicted of torture, murder, and dismemberment of her, and then feeding her body, allegedly, to his dogs. He was sentenced to 22 years and 3 months in prison. Well, right off the bat, that seemed light. I mean, murder, dismemberment, and feed her to the dogs? But it gets better. Or worse, Bruno was released from jail earlier this month after serving 5 years while appealing on a legal technicality. And he was then signed immediately by the team Boa Esporte. Bruno says it's time to move on because, quote, mistakes happen in life, end quote. Quote, dude, that's what it starts with. Dude, I think he was speaking Spanish when he said dude.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
I'm not sure, but I think this is the translation. Dude, what happened? Happened. I made a mistake, a serious one. But mistakes happen in life. I'm not a bad guy. People tried to bury my dream because of one mistake. but I ask God for forgiveness. So I'm carrying on with my career, dude. Close quote. Well, look, you may ask God for forgiveness and he may grant it, but I'm pretty sure that doesn't necessarily pave the way for you to just go back and pick up where you left off playing soccer. I mean, you murdered her, you dismembered her, and then you fed her to your Rottweilers, allegedly. I'm just saying. And we talk about what goes on in our country in terms of athletes getting second chances. Holy mackerels. All right, we're going to get things started today with Alan Carpenter from TomahawkTake.com with thoughts on the state of the Braves coming out of spring and with the WBC final coming up tonight. Brian Matthews is going to join us as well. He is on the beat with Auburn. We'll talk with him about spring ball and the quarterback situation at Auburn. At the top of the, we'll do that at the top of the tree. Then Bo Estes, that's a late ad. T-Mac is over there. McSchedule is over there saying, wait a minute, I didn't see that on the schedule. I didn't tweet that out. McTweet is like, should I be tweeting that out or what? It just came in during the start of the show. Then Bo Estes from NBA TV and NBA.com is in with an NBA update. In the four, Alex Risen from the ABC affiliate in Lexington sets up the Wildcats in the South Regional in Memphis. Then Cecil Hurt from the Tuscaloosa News talks Tide coming off the start of spring ball. If you got an idea what you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll free 866-485-9867. We also have the entire digital doghouse for you as well. That consists of our Twitter feed at Tom Abraham Show. Throw us a follow there if you'd like. Facebook fan page. Throw us a like at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show where I have a question up for your reaction to. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Then there is the text window, 7329-TA-SHOW, 732-982-7469. Doghouse inbox is open as well, Tom@TomAbraham.com. And then there's that cat over there behind the curtain. He's playing the stacks of wax and the platters that matter. He's answering the phones. He's pushing the buttons. He's making sure he stays, keeps us on the air. Right there in our palatial ump studios, high beneath the basement that is the Cumulus Athens Empire. One part Italian, one part Mexican, one part mutt. Who knows what he is? All I know is that his family calls him Antonio Macbeth. To us, Tony, man.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
The guy's an intern.
You don't ever say that to me. Bullcrap.
But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Hold it right there, Mr. Fancy Pants Foreigner.
Do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some and throw it on the wall and see what sticks?
That Tom? Hey, Tom?
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh,
hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Tom, can you get me off the hook? For old time's sake.
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
I'm telling you, there's an embarrassing press conference in that kid's future.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
Well, welcome to America, amigo.
Hey, 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 Tony Mac, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Big Dog? I see the Big Dog Studios survived the storm last night.
Yeah, you know, apparently there was some wind that came through. People were telling me about all kinds of stuff, and I didn't even know that we had a big wind because I kept saying that it wasn't too bad. But how things going out your way? How are things out there in the Florence, in the West Alabama area?
I got about 20 minutes outside of Athens yesterday on my way home, and it was beautiful out. It really kind of stopped towards the end of Athens. Everything towards Florence was fantastic.
That came through. It was just like a line. It wasn't a real wide line of stuff that came through, but it came through. People were sending me texts and emails and stuff saying, hey, did you survive the wind? Did you have any trees go down? Things like that. And I'm like, no, man, we didn't have any tree damage. We didn't have any of that. We just had a pile of rain. And, you know, it got darker than dark, and, you know, that was it. So other than that, it's been pretty good. Are you ready to be McFillin today? Because it could have, you never know. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I feel like garbage. The pipe seems to be okay right now. I'm mainlining Ricola and coffee. I don't think coffee's good for you. You're supposed to do tea. You're supposed to do like tea and lemon and stuff to save your voice. But I'm just doing everything in my power to keep this pipe in gear today.
You know, whenever I get sick like that or my throat gets raspy, my fiance will make me a lemonade with some honey in it and everything because I can't drink tea. Tea will physically make me vomit.
Yeah, I haven't heard about lemonade with honey, but I know tea. I mean, you don't drink sweet tea either?
No, the taste of tea, period. Sweet tea, unsweet tea, any kind of tea will physically make me vomit.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know. It's just ever since I was a kid, it makes me want to puke.
You're born and raised in the state of Tennessee, one of the sweet tea capitals of the world. people I know from my daughter-in-law, who was born and raised in Jackson, Tennessee, gives my 3-year-old granddaughter and my 2-year-old grandson, she gives them like sweet tea at lunch. I'm like, stop giving those kids tea. You're going to stunt their growth. You're going to do this. And they're like, oh no, you know, this is, we grew up on this stuff. And I'm like, come on, man. You got to be kidding me. But, if you're from the South, you're supposed to be, mainstreaming that tea.
Well, the first 10 months of my life, I was born in actually Las Vegas, Nevada. So that maybe that has a little something to do with it. My mom was also, she was born in California and raised in Nevada as well. So maybe that has a little something to do with it.
You are a mutt, man. You're all over the place.
Yeah, I am. I really am.
Who came up with the Antonio? Who was it that said, hey, we got to have this guy's got to be Antonio?
My mom. I'm actually named after my uncle, one of her 9 relatives.
Now, is that an Italian Antonio or is that a Mexican Antonio?
He's Puerto Rican.
Oh, Puerto Rican. Oh, okay. I thought it was Mexican.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
That's right. Well, so you're even more of a mutt than I thought you were.
Well, actually, the way my mom's family is, that is her half-brother, and I didn't get any of that. But my Mexican and Italian comes from my biological father, who was half and half. But my mom is one of 9 kids, and his name is Manuel Antonio Saavedra, and I was named after his middle name. My brother was named after another one of my mom's brothers.
See, Antonio could be Italian, and Antonio could be Hispanic. You know, either one of those dudes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of them names that could go either way. I mean, I suppose anybody could be Antonio. Suppose like a regular straight-up white dude could be Antonio, or a brother could be Antonio. I'm just saying. But typically when you say Antonio, I know many people that are Hispanic that are Antonio. I know many people that are Italian that are Antonio. So that's why with you, I don't know what the hell you are, man. You're like all over the lot, man.
Well, actually, I never met another Antonio until I was in the 11th grade. And he was a basketball player, and he transferred over to our school, and he was actually a black guy. So, I mean, there's all kinds of Antonios out there, Mexican, Italian, and, African-American guys. So,
well, he might have been, you don't know. I mean, who knows what he might have been.
Very true.
He might have been part of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. All right. I got so much stuff to get to. All right, give me a couple of good things that happened today in the world of sports. Give me some news. What do you got?
There's just a couple. Muhammad Ali had his 9th title defense, his 29th straight victory in 1967 over Zora Folley in 7 rounds. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won his 2nd of back-to-back NBA MVPs. And after 29 years, in 1989, Pete Rozelle announced that he was going to retire once they find his replacement. They found his replacement in November, but he announced today that he would retire as NFL commissioner once they found his replacement.
Boy, all of a sudden, Magic Mike, he takes a big job with the landscape company, and now all of a sudden he's like become a brainiac type of guy here. He just hit the text window with Brazilians don't speak Spanish. Portuguese is the official language of Brazil.
Hold it right there, Mr. Fancy Pants Foreigner.
Excuse me. Excuse me. I don't know. See, I don't speak.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
I don't. I don't speak Portuguese either. That's right, Portuguese. Is Portuguese like Spanish? Because Italian, that's pretty much like Spanish too. I mean, they call those the romantic languages. They're very similar. Italian, Spanish. I don't even know what Portuguese sounds like. All I know is the guy fed his wife after he killed her to his dogs, and now he's. Did you hear that story, Antonio? Did you know that story, Tony Mac?
I knew a little bit of it. You reminded. I kind of forgot all about it. But, yeah, that's crazy. To have the guts to kill someone and then feed it to an animal? Allegedly, of course.
Well, and he's off on he's off on a technicality right now.
That's even crazier.
And they signed him. They couldn't sign him fast enough. They just jump on there and they grab him. All right, let me get these couple of guys in here and knock them out here before we get to the interview portion of the hour. Wolverine Dan is up first. Wolverine Dan, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Well, Tom, what you need is a hot toddy and throw away the toddy and drink down the hot. Woo, hot lemon.
Yeah, all I know is lemon, or no, hot tea and lemon in it is supposed to be the thing for your voice. I don't know.
You'll be all right. You'll tough it out. You're a tough goomba, all right? Come on now.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's one thing. Look, I mean, you get sick, you're running the route, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't throw any shade at any other job. I mean, every job is tough to do when you're sick. But if you get, like, if I'm working in a cubicle somewhere, or if I got the corner office at the bank or something like that, yeah, I just sit there and I do my work. I might be a little slower than normal, do my paperwork, push some papers around, make a call or two. But my gig, I've got to be on for 4 hours. And I got to be, you know what I mean? I got to be up. I got to be positive. I got to be entertaining. I got to be talking for 4 friggin' hours every day. So it's a tough job to do when you don't feel well. But, you know, it's the profession I've chosen. So I'm just going to do what I got to do.
Well, you know me, I don't like to take my sick leave. You know, I like to parlay it. You know, I'm over 1,000 hours, you know that. So,
yeah, we don't get to keep ours.
When I retire.
We don't get to keep ours. We get 6 days. We get 6 days a year, but we don't get to keep them. I mean, if you're not sick, you lose it. You know, you start each year, you got six, then you start again.
You can parlay as many as you want, Thomas. Yeah. Now, with that said, a couple things. Now, you're on tomorrow or not?
Yeah, I'm on tomorrow. I'm on tomorrow and Friday, but we just were an hour short, really? So we're 3 to 5 the next 2 days. 3 to 5.
Okay, because I wasn't sure. That's why I'm calling you today. I thought you might be off the next 2 days. And
no,
a couple of things. Number one, what do you think about the game tomorrow night? Now I'm going to be able to see the first half of it at least, because later on that night my wife are going to the Steve Miller Peter Frampton concert.
Oh, I heard Steve Miller. I didn't know if Peter Frampton's there with Steve Miller?
Yeah, he's the backup.
Wow, I didn't know that. I knew Steve Miller was going to be there. I didn't know that Peter Frampton was going to be there. Yeah, I like your chances.
I didn't know that either. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. I like Michigan in that game tomorrow. I think Michigan's got an excellent shot. Yeah, I don't think they're getting to the Final Four, but I like them to win that game tomorrow. I really do. I think they can get over on Oregon. You know, it'll be the early game tomorrow, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And while you're while you're in the car driving down there, just listen to it right here on UMP, because you'll be able to listen to it right up until the time you get into the building. Yeah.
Well, I'll do that. Hey, listen, one more thing. Get a chance, you know, in your goodie bag, don't forget the comedy thing. My Ginger and I would like to go to that. And remember, I won the trifecta with Kozlowski?
Yeah, I thought I hooked you up. Didn't I hook you up?
No, you didn't touch me up.
No. Oh, okay. All right. When do you want to go? I got the late show Friday night or the late show Saturday night for Josh Wolf. When do you want to go?
How about next week? Can you do it next week?
Come on. You want to go another week now? All right. Let me see. I mean, yeah. I mean, if I got tickets, I'll hook you up. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think you had, like, Neil to come with her or something at the show?
Who? What? Oh, no, no. Yeah.
Neil to come with us.
Some of them they did that. I know they did that a couple of weeks ago. But, yeah, they did a $25 gift certificate getting 2 tickets. But we can make that happen. I thought I hooked you up on that.
I don't know about Friday, because this week we're pretty booked up with a bunch of stuff.
All right. Well, remind me again next week, and I'll get you hooked up for the next show, next weekend show.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, brother.
All right, man. Appreciate you. I got tickets to give away. I got a parody giveaway for Josh Wolf for the Friday night show, the late show Friday, and the late show Saturday. All right, let me get Ray Dog in here. Ray Dog, what's going on?
Not much, man. Let's get this real quick. First of all, the soccer player guy, where's Tito when I need him? Because if that woman wasn't attractive, that could be animal cruelty.
Man, you had to go there, right? I mean, you know, that's just I can't believe you went there. I mean, he fed her to the dogs. I mean, come on. And she was a model, by the way. So, just so you know.
Okay, well, that works then.
She was a Brazilian model.
Let me throw a couple of logs on your fire.
All right, what do you got?
First of all, Lane Kiffin's getting sued.
Yeah, I got that in the story. I got that in the show today. Yeah? We're going to get to that. That's pretty good.
You got that in there. I'll leave that alone there. Mm-hmm. And then second, Bill Self compared a player to Ivan Drago.
I bet the player had no idea who Ivan Drago was.
The press was asking Bill Self about Purdue, and he said, yeah, that big kid, Haas, you know, he's like Ivan Drago, but bigger.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good reference, good Rocky reference there. Rocky 4 or Rocky 5?
Now, just so you know, yeah. Isaac Haas is from just outside Gaston.
Did not know that.
He's from Hoax Bluff, 72295.
Wow. That's a big boy, man.
Good kid, too. Good kid.
Good stuff. Gotcha. All right. All right, man. Just good job by you. Radar getting loose. Rick and North Fort Myers says, I think Wolverine Dan and I could fill in for you online. Oh, there you go. The guys are lining up to take my gig already. See how you are. All right, let's grab a break. When we come back, we'll get things going with Alan Carpenter from TomahawkTake.com. He's up next. We'll talk a little bit of Country Hardball with him. It's the Tom Abraham Show. It's off and rolling right here on 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP. From University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, your small business source in Alabama. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. The Crimson Tide's trio of freshman arms in Deacon Metters, Garrett Rooks, and Davis Fainter combined to limit the opposition to only one unearned run as Alabama defeated UAB 4-1 at Regents Field Tuesday evening in Birmingham. The victory moved the Tide to 11-10 overall, heading into this weekend series in SEC play at South Carolina. In his first career start, Metters tossed four innings of scoreless ball, allowing three hits and two walks, striking out three batters across 53 pitches of work. Garrett Rooks worked 3 1/3 scoreless frames of relief to earn his second win of the season, and Vayner notched his third save of the year with an inning and 2/3 of action. Gene Wood led the Tide at the plate with a 3-for-3 night, and Connor Short had a home run as well. I'll have more in a moment.
Looking to start a new business or interested in expanding your small business? We're here to help. Visit AtlasAlabama.gov today for free tools and resources to get you started. AtlasAlabama.gov. Chart your course to small business success. Brought to you by the Alabama Small Business Commission. In 2011, 5,552 Alabama jobs were created by small businesses. Small businesses, big business in Alabama. Visit AtlasAlabama.gov to learn more about Alabama's Small Business Commission and access resources for starting your own. AtlasAlabama.gov. We're here to help.
Coach Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide held its first practice of the spring yesterday. The Alabama golf team finished fifth at the Linger Longer Invitational. And today in Indianapolis, the Alabama men's swimming and diving teams will open competition at the NCAA Championships. That's your Bama Update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by AtlasAlabama.gov, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Good times with your family last a lifetime with the help of Madison RV Supercenter. Are you ready to hit the open road in your own RV, fifth wheel, or travel trailer? Or do you need a toy hauler? With hundreds to choose from and a huge variety of brands and price ranges, Madison RV Supercenter has what you need. Madison RV Supercenter has the best, most experienced sales and service team in Alabama and are ready to meet your RV needs better than anyone. Visit us today and experience the difference Madison RV Supercenter can make.
Great show. Wednesday morning, Barrett Salee joined us to talk opening spring practice for Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee. Laura Rutledge talked minor league baseball with us. Dr. Brett McCabe discussed why Tennessee's players seem to have a trickle-down effect from their head coach in spewing things to the media. Tomorrow morning, we've got Vegas runner Lance Taylor joining the show 6 to 10 a.m. right here on UMP Sports. And if you missed any interviews, you can go to umpsports.com and check out the podcast there.
It's warming up around Huntsville. That means it's time to get out and ride in a Polaris off-road vehicle. And the best time to buy is during the Polaris Spring Sales Event. You'll find great financing, plus rebates up to $2,000. You'll even get a free two-year extended warranty on any full-size Ranger or any Sportsman 450 or 570 ATV. See your Polaris dealer now.
Offer valid through April, may vary by model. No charge for promotional two-year extended warranty. See dealer for details. Off-road vehicles can be hazardous to operate. Always wear a helmet and take a safety training course.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth. She was one of about 380,000 babies born prematurely in the U.S. Help the March of Dimes protect babies like Kaya who are born too soon or very sick. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Indeed.com delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. A small chance of a shower this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 65. The low tonight, 49. For tomorrow, cloudy at times. The chance of a few scattered rain showers. The high, 62. And Friday, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 67. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
The Atlanta Braves have been struggling in spring training. Not that records in spring training really mean anything, but you see, you want to win some games, and it has been a tough spring for the Braves in terms of winning baseball games. What was that note we had yesterday about the guy, the last guy that was fired, the last manager that was fired during spring training, Alvin Dark? Right, I think it was Alvin Dark was it was part of Tony Max Minuji yesterday. I think the last man. Not saying that Brian Snicker should be fired, but I'm just saying that I don't think it's going to be a real long leash here, depending on how what kind of a start they get off to. Joining us now, Alan Carpenter from TomahawkTake.com. Carp, welcome in. How are you, man?
The long, lonely winter is nearly over, and baseball's underway again. So I am great. How's the big dog holding up?
Well, other than this, this head cold and laryngitis that I'm fighting, I'm doing pretty good. But, really not a bad winter, though, right? I mean, this was not a really bad winter for us. And, the question will be, how do the Atlanta Braves hit the ground running? Remember last year, obviously, it was such a horrific start to the season. It lingered all season long. Even though they played well, the last 2 months of the season, they actually played pretty well. But what do you think about Brian Snitker? I mean, if they come out and are struggling in the new building, and they have a lousy first 2 months. I mean, really bad looking, like their record has been in spring training. Do you think there's a quick hook there?
I don't really think so. There's a lot of head scratches that might go on, but turns out they have a relatively reasonable, favorable schedule for that first couple of months, so they should be doing okay to get started. Also, if you look at that spring training record in a little more depth, turns out that it's the minor leaguers that have mostly dumped to those games. The Braves, major league club, the regulars have typically held a reasonable lead or at least tied for the first half of these games. And there have been a lot of big innings late and a lot of errors that have contributed to that those losses from the minor leaguers. So I'm not terribly worried. It balances out to probably about a 500 record in spring. And I don't see any problem with the starting lineup as we're coming out of spring in terms of their health and their production. And I think they're going to be in reasonable shape, at least for the first couple of months. And we'll see what happens from there.
This Ozzie Albies kid has had a really good spring at second base. He's played in 11 games. He has, it seems to be like he's been pretty productive in his 11 games that he has played. 6 for 16, they just send him down, right? What's the prospects for him?
Well, he needs a little bit more seasoning, and that's why they brought in Sean Rodriguez to start with to play second base. And then once he got hurt in an unfortunate auto accident back in January, they brought in Brandon Phillips to take that spot. So I think second base position is good and will be held until they deem that Albies is ready to go. Albies, of course, also at the end of September had a wacky injury where he messed up the tip of his elbow on a swing, which is almost unheard of. And there was a big question during the offseason as to whether he'd even be ready for spring training. Honestly, I'm a little surprised that he has gotten into so many games, but it looks like he's held up fairly well. So I think they're going to give him enough at-bats at AAA to make sure that he's ready. And then once that's the case, then Phillips will probably be traded elsewhere if they can figure out a place to move him somewhere near the trade deadline. And then we'll see Albies up, assuming it all goes according to plan.
He's been pretty good, Brandon Phillips. 16 hits and 37. I'm not sure if that's the right numbers I have there, but he's hitting around 300 or so. It seems like he's been pretty productive.
He has been, and he should be a decent RBI producer as well as an excellent defender around there. I tell you, up the middle, the Braves are really in good shape between Swanson, Phillips, and Ender Inciarte in center field. They're going to swallow up a heck of a lot of balls on defense and certainly make their pitchers a lot better as far as that goes, too.
What about Jace Peterson? He played a lot at second last year. Is he going to be in a utility role, or what's the situation there?
Yeah, he's going to be the Martin Prado kind of guy where he can bounce all around the field and give you a hit every now and then off the bench to help out. But he is going to be the super utility guy. He's sort of not – he's been a little streaky and not fully the hitter that they thought he might become. But at the same time, he's certainly very useful in the other – role that he's going to occupy this year. So yeah, you're going to see him all over the diamond. You're going to see him in pinch hitting roles, and you know, he's still very valuable to have around and still has a good career in front of him with the Braves.
Alan Carpenter with us from TomahawkTake.com, and let's talk a little bit about two of the corners. They have looked good. We talked earlier in spring training that Freddie Freeman had gone off to a quick start. He's kept that up in the games that he's played in. He's played in about 11 games, a little more than half the games so far, but he has been very productive. Of course, played in the WBC as well, but I mean, he's 13-28, for the Braves, .464 in the spring. And Adonis Garcia, is been good as well. 8-25. He's hitting .320 in the spring. So the corners, man, if they can go take that into the season, and if Freddie can get off to that quick start instead of having that horrific start he had last year, you know, it might be a totally different deal for him.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of reason to believe that the Braves will be off to a decent offensive start. Matt Kemp looks better. Freddie Freeman is looking like Freddie Freeman, and Garcia, as you mentioned, is off to an excellent start as well. Swanson is hitting like a veteran as well, not like a second year guy that he is, and really he's still even rookie of the year eligible as we come into the season. So between those guys, Phillips, Inciarte, and the doubles machine that's Nick Markakis, I really like the chances of the Braves to put some runs up on the board like they did the second half of 2016.
Yeah. Kurt Suzuki or Tyler Flowers behind the plate, who's going to get that gig?
Flowers is going to be the primary. Suzuki is going to be his backup, probably getting a couple of games each week. And as well, he is going to be the designated knuckleball whisperer. He gets to catch R.A. Dickey, it looks like, as we get into the season. We'll see how that works out. But so far, so good, looks.
Yeah, how have the new additions looked when they have pitched? How has Dickey looked and Cologne looked when they've been out there?
Well, that's hard to say. Cologne got beat up the other day. So did Dickey. These guys don't tend to worry about what they're doing in spring so much. They looked good early, which is a good sign. And then it's kind of like, well, let's just get through March and then wait till we actually get to turn on the switch. I do like what Tulio Tehran's been doing. I like what Jaime Garcia has been doing. Mike Foltynewicz is looking really good. So between those three, even if Colon and Dickey only pitched to maybe a 4.5 ERA, I think they're all going to keep the team in games and allow the offense to score enough runs to get some wins out. So I'm not terribly worried about them. Colon and Dickey are going to give us some innings. They're going to give up some runs here and there, but they are also going to make sure that the bullpen lasts longer, and that's part of the equation that John Coppola came up with when he brought these guys in as stopgaps for the year.
Julio Teheran will get the start opening day, I think, for something like 5 years or something like that. This will be his fifth time starting on opening day, I think. But how do you think they fall in behind him? This Foltynewicz, as well as he's been pitching, is he moving up in this rotation? How do you think the five of these guys sort out behind Julio Teheran?
I had that down, and I can't remember what it is. I think Colon is going to be second, Garcia third, Dickey fourth, and Foltynewicz probably in the fifth spot. Dickey looks like he's lined up to be the opening day starter in the new SunTrust Park, which is kind of interesting. But they don't open there until April 14th. First game is April 3rd against the Mets in Citi Field.
Right.
That will be in fact, Tehran. So it'll be interesting to see Colon pitching in Citi Field against his old mates in New York in the second game there.
Well, they'll shake it down, right? I mean, at April 31st or March 31st, I believe they have the shakedown game there at SunTrust Field to be the last spring training game, but it'll be the Yankees in there playing them, right? Is that the only game they're playing before they open up the regular season?
That is correct. That is the soft open, if you want to call it that, and I'll see how it goes. It's also interesting. They just really got the sod laid about a couple weeks ago, so I hope it takes by then so that these guys are sliding around or chunking up the up the sod any, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays. They've got a new wall arrangement. It'll be lower in left field and higher in right field, and not much foul territory. It's going to be a lot slimmer than it was in Turner Field, and by my reckoning, it's going to be one of the slimmest foul territories, top three at least in the majors.
Well, that's good. I mean, it puts the fans right on top of the action. And of course, you got to be careful on that too, but it's going to put the fans right in the middle of all the action. All right, before I let you go, tonight the U.S. and Puerto Rico World Baseball Classic Final. Have you caught the fever or what? I mean, with the Americans going deep into this thing, it's a little bit late for us. It starts 8 o'clock again tonight. But have you been into it? Is it how important is it to you?
I've been paying attention, but it hasn't really caught me too much because I've been paying attention to Braves as much. But I tell you, there are some things I like about the WBC and some things I really don't like. And really, I think it comes down to it's the feeling that it's like baseball with a governor on the engine. You've got a lot of problems in that you've got – well, here we are in the semifinals and finals. They're one-and-done games. That's not the way we do baseball tournaments.
Right.
You've got pitching limits where guys can only throw a certain number of pitches. You've got this wacky extra inning rule where if starting the 11th inning, you have to start an inning with runners on first and second. Yeah, all these kind of things are not baseball, but at the same time, I understand it because you kind of have to do it because of the time of year you're doing this, because teams are concerned. Yeah, all these kinds of things just make it not quite baseball. But at the same time, I also appreciate the fact that it's circulating baseball around the world and you're getting a bunch of countries involved that are playing at a high level. I mean, heck, how many people expected Israel to get out of the first round? I mean, that's just crazy talk if you'd said it a month ago. But at the same time, you've got a lot of people playing that are not that you don't see a lot. You see how they play Japan baseball. It was fun to see the crazy brass band up in the seats at Dodger Stadium. So I just wish that this game and the game last night had been earlier in the evening, so you get more viewership in the, on the East Coast, but at the this point, it is what it is, and I like what I see, and I am rooting for a U.S. victory. Although you could kind of say we got one already because the U.S. is playing Puerto Rico, and everybody on the field is going to be a U.S. citizen. So there you go.
Now, there you go. That's a good point. And you know, when you look at, it's funny because the Israel team actually, that most of those guys were our professional baseball players in the minors. But those are mostly all professional baseball players. Whereas, you know, like Japan, I read the whole story about, you know, the game last night on MLB.com and to get their take on it. And they talked about how the U.S., you know, beat this, Japan team who had two-time winners in 06 and 09. That was a totally different, that team was all major leaguers. You know, the dirty little secret here is that Japan, you know, none of their major leaguers played. One guy played, you know, that is a major leaguer. So that's not the same Japan team. And, you know, that's what I kind of look at each team and say, how many major league? The Netherlands was so impressive because there was only four major leaguers on that team.
And they're all shortstops.
And they're all shortstops. Isn't that crazy?
It's
a place to go for shortstops. Yeah, right. All right, Carp, I appreciate you as always. Looking forward to the conversation this year.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.
All right, Alan Carpenter. Talking some baseball there with us as he does each and every week now with the Braves take, TomahawkTake.com. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, phone lines are open for the first time. I'll throw out there a question that I threw out there on the Facebook page. I'll let you know what that is next right here on 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio, The Ump, because we care.
This is Brandon Tierney with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Ford. Commercial vehicles built for tough. Well, if you follow the NBA, you probably know that former WNBA star Becky Hammon became the first full-time paid female assistant when she was hired by Greg Popovich and the Spurs back in 2014. And by all accounts, she's been a terrific asset, transitioning seamlessly from an amazing 16-year career as a point guard to a piece of one of sports' best franchises. She's earned her place, no doubt. And now she's apparently in the mix to take the reins at the University of Florida with the women's program, which has led to some people questioning whether or not that would divert her from the path to the men's game by jumping right back into the women's game. Does she want to coach, or does she want to just eventually coach in the NBA, which would be men? Either way, before she does anything as a head coach, she'll need to learn how to run a program or a team, work the grease board, command the room. And quite frankly, the sex of the player staring back at her shouldn't matter. I'm BT.
Hey, just ask your delivery guy, or the guy who built your delivery guy's house, or the guy who laid the highway for the guy who built your delivery guy's house. Ford Commercial Vehicles can handle the job. During commercial vehicle season, save on Transit, Transit Connect, E-Series, Super Duty, and Medium Duty trucks. Ford Trucks and Vans. Year after year, America's best-selling line of commercial vehicles because they're built Ford tough.
Claim based on IHS market calendar year 1985 through 2016, U.S. TIP registrations, excluding registrations to individuals. See your dealer for details.
Who doesn't love NCAA March Madness? You know why? Because it's also time for Warner Ladder Madness. That's right. During Ladder Madness, you can find great deals on Warner Ladders. Whether you're looking for a new step ladder, extension ladder, work platform, or the podium used to cut down the nets, if you need a ladder, now is the time. March is Ladder Madness, so get your new Werner now. Go to GetWerner.com to find the best product for you. That's GetWerner.com.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motor home.
Spring is here, and Bankston has the best selection of 2017 RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
New 2017s are arriving daily, like the Aspen Trail 1700BH. This sweet travel trailer sleeps five with a set of rear bunks for the kids. This trailer features a full kitchen with a two-burner range, fridge, sink, microwave, and a large pantry. The Aspen Trail 1700BH is on sale now for only $12,499.
The only way to go.
Spring is here, and so are the new 2017 travel trailers, truck campers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Learn more about the Aspen Trail Mini 1700BH online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
Five locations are online at BanksonMotorhomes.com.
The insane
inflatable 5K is coming to town in just a few weeks, and you and your crew are invited to the bounce party. Fitness can be fun as you bob, weave through ball maze and crash course and get your bounce and slide on with the wall, wrecking balls, and 7 additional inflatables. Check it out and register early to take advantage of special savings at InsaneInflatable5K.com.
The Insane Inflatable 5K is coming back to Huntsville. It's just a few weeks away, and waves are already filling up. It's taking place April 8th. The Insane Inflatable 5K is fun for everyone. Feel like a kid again and jump on 11 of the craziest inflatable obstacles you have ever seen. Seriously huge and crazy cool. And we love saving you some money. So here's your chance to be a kid at heart again. An insane by choice. Log on this Friday morning at 9. You can be part of the Insane Inflatable 5K.
It's a $68.50 value for only $34.25.
Be a part of the Big Bounce Party. Log on this Friday morning at 9. UmpSports.com.
Well, it was bound to happen. Football season will come to an end, but what that means is spring football is right around the corner, and so is the spring season. Now is the time to treat your vehicle to the ultimate in-service care at Woody Anderson Ford. You'll be stunned at the beautiful new service lanes, and you're going to want to leave yourself some extra time to have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. In fact, head to the Mustang Cafe any day, and while you're there, check out the new 2017 Fords. Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lane.
Hey, it's our dime. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
Phone lines are open, 866-485-9867. Get you in for a 866-485-9867. You gotta cut me a little bit of slack now, man. I'm all drugged up and stuff. So if I botch the number, if I botch the number and botch other stuff, it's just, we call it, Wednesday and the Tom Abraham Show. I mean, there's nothing really too ironic or new about that. That's for sure. All right, I'm going to get to the phones here in just a moment. But, this whole deal with the Mexican media exec who was nabbed pilfering Super Bowl gear, it begs to be a movie, right? I mean, how they found all of this stuff. And reading the stories of the investigation is kind of fascinating. And I still don't know how this happens, because getting credentials is not an easy thing normally, And you'd think a Super Bowl credential would be especially tough, but they issued 20,000 of them. I mean, are they more lax with Super Bowl credentials than they are with regular credentials? And I wonder just how much money was spent in police and FBI man hours to recover this stuff, too. I mean, they went through all of these, pouring through all of these photos from credentials and, trying to there was a lot of man hours put into this deal. But it does lead me to a question. And many of you already answered it at the Facebook fan page, and I'm going to read some of those as the show goes on. What would be the number one piece of sports memorabilia that you'd personally like to have? The one thing that you would love to have? I mean, for example, I think for me, maybe Derek Jeter's Mr. November jersey. The home run he hit when the clock had struck November 1st, 2001 in the 2001 World Series against the Diamondbacks, and Jeter hits the home run to win, what was it, game two for the Yankees, then go on to lose that World Series in what many people think is the greatest World Series, at least in the last 50 years. But, that would be something. It's just hard to pick one thing. Like, how about Barry Krause's cracked helmet from the goal line stand, which Barry has at his house? Or the ball that Dwight Clark caught for the catch? That's some significant stuff there. Let me get Jay in here quick. Hopefully the music doesn't fire too quick on you, Jay. Jay, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on now?
You are, man.
Probably my greatest sports memorabilia, which I've been tearing up the house for the past couple months, is a picture of me and Jim Brown when I was 2 years old in 1970, 78. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And I'm tearing up the whole house for it. But as far as this whole Tom Brady's jersey thing, yeah, it makes me hate them even more. Even more.
Man. God, love that, though. A picture of Jay with Jim Brown.
Man, I was 2 years old looking like a G. You know what I mean? Staring at the camera. I was with Jim Brown. And this one, Jim Brown was still swole and athletic.
Yeah.
He was on the tennis court. He was me and my two older brothers, man. And it's like the greatest picture ever. That's all we did. That's all I want right there. But
as
far as sports
man.
Memorabilia and being a psycho over, like, baseball cards and stuff like that,
nah,
I'm not that type of dude. You know what I mean?
You,
I just, you know.
All right, Jay, they're cutting us off here, man. We got to get to the break. I appreciate you, man. That's a good job by Jay getting in there. All right, we'll come back with more right after this.
Radio 730 1039. The Ump. The Ump.
I'm Kevin Kugler with an NCAA tournament game spotlight. Friday in Memphis, two of the most storied programs in history meet as the second-seeded Kentucky Wildcats meet the three-seed UCLA. The other game from the South region will match the number one seed North Carolina against Butler, the four seed. Friday also will have action from the East region in New York City. You can hear Westwood One's exclusive coverage of every game of the NCAA tournament right here.
The wrong boot will make your work suffer. Take Yeti. That's his forklift with the front wheels hanging just over the edge of the loading dock. And that is a big bead of sweat dripping down Yeti's face because he's pretty sure if he moves, this whole thing is going to go further south. Sure will be interesting when everybody gets back from lunch. When your feet hurt, your work suffers. So get the Timberland Pro Disruptor Work Shoe. Anti-fatigue technology and a 30-day comfort guarantee. Timberland Pro. Visit your local Timberland Pro retailer to get a pair.
March Madness is a time when the best of the best come out to play. Experience that same level of performance with the turbocharged Infiniti Q50 sedan. Visit Smith Infiniti of Huntsville today and lease the Q50 for $339 a month for 39 months. $24.99 initial payment, tax, title, license, and options extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for details. Offer ends 3/31/17. Infiniti is an official partner of NCAA Men's Basketball. NCAA and March Madness are registered trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Infiniti. Empower the drive.
Have a job to do but don't have the tools to do it? Then call Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville today. Valley Equipment Rental has everything you need to get the job done fast. Mowers, tillers, pressure washers, floor sanders, trenchers, and much, much more await you at Valley Equipment Rental. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just a do-it-yourselfer, Valley Equipment Rental is here for you. Call today, 256-964-6081. Get rolling with Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville, 256-964-6081. Valley Equipment Rental.
It's warming up around Huntsville. That means it's time to get out and ride in a Polaris off-road vehicle. And the best time to buy is during the Polaris Spring Sales Event. You'll find great financing, plus rebates up to $2,000. You'll even get a free 2-year extended warranty on any full-size Ranger or any Sportsman 450 or 570 ATV. See your Polaris dealer now.
Offer valid through April, may vary by model. No charge for promotional 2-year extended warranty. See dealer for details. Off-road vehicles can be hazardous to operate. Always wear a helmet and take a safety training course.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Cart is back and on sale April 3rd. This year's Tennessee Valley Golf Cart features a round of golf, including cart at 7 area courses, including Cherokee Ridge, Cypress Lakes, Quail Creek, and Point Mallard. Play any day of the week. No restrictions, no blackouts. A $288 value for just $129. And enjoy golf at Blackberry Trail, Eagle's Nest, and Redstone Links. This April 3rd, log on to umpsports.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective, clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
The County for a Cure Relay for Life team announces their second annual Cornhole for a Cure tournament to benefit the American Cancer Society. The event, sponsored by Tri-Green Equipment, is Saturday, April 22nd, with courts opening at 10 a.m. Competition begins at noon. The event will be held at the Limestone County Sheriff's Rodeo Arena on Highway 99 in Athens. The registration fee is $40 per team now through April 20th, and day of the event registration is $50. Registration is now open and forms are available at the Limestone County Commission office and County for a Cure Facebook page. That's the second annual Cornhole for a Cure tournament to benefit the American Cancer Society, Saturday, April 22nd at the Limestone County Sheriff's Rodeo Arena. Registration's open now and forms are available at the Limestone County Commission Office and County for a Cure Facebook page. Get your team together and we'll see you Saturday, April 22nd for the second annual Cornhole for a Cure tournament.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all, not one bill. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
The treatment doesn't get any better than what you receive at St. Jude. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The